Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and Detroit Lions fans, you got to win. That's right, you got the dub. How about that? The Honolulu Blue. Coming up big. Well, I shouldn't say big. Let's just pump the brakes on that word. Just because, I mean, you are playing one of the NFL's worst franchises in the league. Look, I don't want to take any luster off of, you know, a Lions victory, any Lions victory, but let's keep it in perspective. The Lions did what they were supposed to do, and it wasn't even close, folks. I mean, the Lions won convincingly. You know, it's not often you get a chance to say that. You know, I was listening to that game yesterday because I was on the run. I had to move some I was moving some new furniture into my apartment like all day yesterday, so I didn't get a chance to see a lot of NFL action, but I listened to a ton of it. I came home after I got done moving. I watched many of the highlights that occurred. It was a very, very busy weekend for me, but, you know, in listening to that Detroit Lions game, and shout out to Lomas Brown and Dan Miller who do an awesome job in trying to make this franchise listenable. week in and week out, but you know, and they were just talking, and I was just sitting there thinking to myself as I'm driving, you know, when was the last time that we were able to view that you all as fans were able to just sit back and enjoy a convincing Detroit Lions victory? And I couldn't come up with an answer. You know, there was one game that came to mind. You know, like a season or two ago when the Lions played the Miami Dolphins, and, you know, it was just a wire-to-wire victory, not even close. But, you know, that was a while ago. That was a while ago. So it's very rare when you as fans, you know, get a chance to just sit back and relax, all right, and just watch score after score after score and to view a dominant Detroit Lions performance. But, you know, it was just such a weird day because, you know, as I'm listening to the game, like right before kickoff, though, you know, I had gone on my my phone and I saw this report floating around concerning Matt Patricia and a possible scenario that he was faced with, that if he lost, reports were coming out. And this is, you know, this was a pretty legit report. Pretty legit report coming from a journalist. And I'm going to dive into the specifics of this in just a moment. But it came from a journalist who doesn't just float stuff out there for, you know, the likes of traffic and ratings and so on and so forth, views, I should say. But this is a pretty credible reporter, Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports. He was told by several sources yesterday. Yesterday morning, he got this news that he believed, and they believed, those sources believed, that Patricia could be fired if the Lions were to lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars. How wild is that? And if that's true, one, I want to know who leaked this information. I mean, because if it's coming within the Lions organization, oh boy. But two, I mean, if Patricia knew this, I mean, can you imagine the kind of pressure that he's under right now? Even though he's got to know that, you know, and coaches try to stand up there and say, you know, look, I don't read the press clippings. We are focused on what's happening within our organization and everything else is tuned out. But, I mean, Matt Patricia, you gotta believe him. I mean, this is a very smart man, all right? Very smart man. He knows that his job is on the line this season. He has heard that chatter, and there's pressure that comes with that. So when that story came out yesterday morning, it just created a different vibe, you know, for that Jaguars game on the road. So I'm going to talk about all of that. We'll dive into how the Lions were able to get that convincing victory and what it means for the Lions moving forward now, because, you know, it's really a catch-22. You know, I mentioned on Friday's show that you either feel one of two ways, you know, as I feel, but, you know, I feel like every Lions fan, you know, when you see a victory like this, there is a part of you that smiles a bit. Because the Lions just don't do this. They don't. They don't win convincingly like this. They don't dominate a team like this. I mean, 34-16, it wasn't even close. And, you know, I don't care if you are on the side of, hey, let's tank for Trevor and enter ourselves into the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. Or if you are on the side of, okay, no, we're still battling here. Let's win as many games as possible. I don't care where you fall on that side of the fence. There was a part of you that enjoyed what you saw yesterday because you don't see that. You just don't see that for your team. So we're going to talk about that and what it means for the Lions moving forward now because, you know, the Lions, they aren't the bottom of the barrel in the NFL, but they aren't the elite of the elite. They are in that middle tier of the NFL, which is a dangerous place to be when you talk about professional sports and in trying to evaluate your future of where you want to be. All right. So Lions Jags is on deck. Also, folks, Michigan State football game week is here. That's right, Spartan fans. You have been waiting for this moment for quite a while. You have been waiting, especially with this adds to the anticipation, right? You have been waiting for the debut of the Mel Tucker era since his hire was announced. And now game week is here, and we are just a few days away from the Michigan State football opener against Rutgers this Saturday afternoon. I just want to touch upon it a little bit, and we'll be getting you ready here on Current Sports throughout the entire week. You know, we'll be prepping you guys. You'll get a chance to hear from Mel Tucker and players as they will be made available to us media members via Zoom. And, you know, going to be a different vibe for sure because still, you know, fans will not be allowed to attend the game. So Spartan Stadium on Saturday afternoon will be empty. And even for us press members, I mean, you know, yeah, we are allowed to attend the game, of course, because we're covering the game, but, you know, we have to still social distance and wear our mask. And but it's like, you know, I know a lot of media members who are just sitting at home and just going to watch it on TV and report that way because it's like being there, you know, yeah, you're seeing it from that bird's eye view and so on and so forth, but I really like watching the game broadcast over just being in the press box and watching it because you get the commentary and you get all these different camera angles. But, you know, the main purpose of going to the game is that, you know, you get a chance to interview these players in person, and we won't get the opportunity to do that because of the year that is COVID. So after the game, you know, the interviews with Mel Tucker and the rest of his coaching staff, as well as the players, all of those interviews will be conducted virtually. So I look at it and say, you know, a lot of media members are looking at it like me and saying, okay, is it even worth going? It's like, you know, I don't know. So it's going to be just different. It's going to be a different year. But, you know, the fact that you will get a chance to see Michigan State football on your television this Saturday, I mean, that's some reason to celebrate right there. And in the latest round of COVID-19 testing, you know, Michigan State, I believe there was only 3 positive tests for MSU athletics, which is pretty awesome because the numbers are going down. You know, it's not, again, you still want to see 0 on that final report, but, you know, the fact that it's down to 3 now, you know, as we are now embarking on game week, that is good news. That's a good sign, at least, to start this year. All right? So we'll talk MSU football game week, and we'll have weekend winners to close out the show. If you, yes, you, would like to be a part of the hour, you can do that. You may not be able to call live into the show, but you can still leave us a voicemail at 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Weigh in courtesy of social media at facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And, of course, we start things off with your Detroit Lions. DeAndre Swift ran for 116 yards and 2 touchdowns on Sunday to lead your Detroit Lions to a 34-16 victory over the lowly Jacksonville Jaguars. The number 35 overall pick and second running back taken in this year's draft, Swift, he became the first Lion to top 100 yards rushing in a game since Kerryon Berrion Johnson ran for 125 against Kansas City in September of last year. Before Sunday, the Lions had lost 6 straight games in which they held double-digit leads, including in all 3 of their losses this year. At 2-3, the Lions remain fringe playoff contenders, believe it or not. Isn't that crazy? With a winnable stretch of games through Thanksgiving, they will play the 1-5 Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. The Falcons beat the Minnesota Vikings for their first win of the season on Sunday and faced just one team. The Lions faced just one team with a winning record in the Indianapolis Colts before December. So isn't that amazing? I mean, looking at how the schedule is panning out, and also, by the way, not to toot my own horn, but, and I can't toot it all the way because I was a little wrong here. You know, I was on, you know, going back to that appearance that I had on Jack Ebling's Press Pass television show on Fox that I do, you know, once every couple of months. And, you know, my latest appearance, you know, I was asked by Jack, you know, when did I think the Lions were going to get their first win of the season? And I pinpointed the Jacksonville Jaguars, where they have, you know, we saw 16 rookies out there. 16. They're, you know, one of the youngest, if not the youngest NFL team in the league. And when I looked at the schedule and I said, okay, looking at it realistically, coming off a bye, well rested, you play a young Jacksonville Jaguars team, that's when they will probably get their first win. It turned out I was wrong, and they got that first win against Arizona, which I still can't believe, but, you know, I was almost right. I'll just say I'm almost right, so I can't fully toot my own horn. But, you know, looking at how this stacks out, I mean, Lions fans, you are in the definition of a catch-22 right now. Especially if you want to see the you know, Bob Quinn, Matt Patricia era die, if you don't want to see those two men leading your NFL franchise anymore, you got to lose as many games as possible to make it really convincing that these two are really not the guys for the job. Because Sheila Ford may look at things, if the Lions finish, you know, as a 500 team or just above 500 team, and heck, especially if they somehow squeak into the playoffs, but again, we still got a long NFL year before we talk playoffs possibly with the Lions. I don't think that's going to happen. Let's not get crazy here. But if they are a 500 team or one game above 500, you better believe that Sheila Ford is going to look at this, and there's a good chance that she may say, well, we may almost be there. Let me give them one more shot. That is not what you want if you are a Detroit Lions fan. These guys are not the right guys for the job. Don't let one game fool you. Don't let this 2-3 record right now fool you. And no matter what happens in this stretch of football, again, where you face just one team with a winning record before December, don't let any of that fool you. These two brothers are not the men who are going to lead you to the promised land. You'll just be wasting time. All right? Again, more Lions Jags in just a moment. I almost started the segment right there. You see that? I get riled up when I talk about the Detroit Lions because they just frustrate me so much, and I'm not even a fan of the team. All right, Mike Zimmer didn't give much thought on whether he would pull Kirk Cousins, the former Michigan State football quarterback great now, of course. As we can call him kind of a vet in the NFL now. But Mike Zimmer didn't give, as he's with the Minnesota Vikings, he didn't give much thought in the first half about, pulling Kirk Cousins, in which he threw three interceptions in that game yesterday in that loss to the Atlanta Falcons. That was a 40-23 loss for Cousins and the Vikings against the Falcons. Mike Zimmer replied with a simple no when asked if he considered making a change. Although the coach dispelled any notion of the quarterback's job security, Kirk Cousins is pretty aware of the consequences that could come if his interception trend picks up following the Vikings' bye week. This is a bit of what Kirk Cousins had to say. Quote, "The reality is, if the pace I'm on in terms of the interceptions, if that were to continue, I won't finish the season. I won't. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of, you got to improve. Whether it's them telling me, hey, we got to improve, or them pulling me, we got to get better. That's what the rest of the season will be about for me, is trying to protect the football as best as I can, because when you turn the ball over, it really hurts your chances to win. I know that. I just need to improve as we look ahead to the rest of the season." Kirk Cousins, very aware that if he keeps mucking it up the way he is, he will be benched. Simple as that. So the three interceptions Cousins threw before halftime one Sunday were his most in a first half of his career. In six games, the 32-year-old QB leads the NFL with 10 picks. He tossed six in 2019. That is incredible, isn't it? So I don't know what's going on with Kirk, but it's got to be fixed. I think when you begin to throw those many interceptions, you begin to press a bit, you start thinking too much, and you just start doing too much. So we'll see if Kirk can pick up his play as we move on in the NFL year, but a much-needed bye week coming up for them, right? All right, retired Michigan State football coach Mark D'Antonio is on furlough. That's right, D'Antonio, after his February 4th retirement, he agreed to a $100,000 annual contract with the athletic department through February 14th, 2022. That must be nice, right? $10,000 annual contract through February of 2022. In that role, MSU football's winningest coach will assist in donor relations and a variety of other projects. However, Coach D, in late August, he agreed to indefinitely step aside as the university and athletic department navigate the financial fallout of the coronavirus shutdowns. D'Antonio, this is what he stated. Quote, "As the global pandemic has..." Well, actually, this is coming from Michigan State Athletics, excuse me. Quote, "As the global pandemic has drastically reduced those opportunities, D'Antonio graciously and willingly volunteered for an indefinite furlough." So D'Antonio's furlough comes as MSU is scheduled to spend nearly $15 million in 2020 on him and new coach Mel Tucker. That's according to documents obtained by USA Today and the Detroit Free Press. So a lot of moolah, and again, the coronavirus having a profound impact financially when it comes to college athletics, especially at Michigan State University. Michigan State University is no exception to that, all right? All right, moving on. The Michigan football team could have another departure on its hands, this time at the already inexperienced linebacker position. Redshirt freshie Charles Thomas has entered his name into the NCAA's transfer portal, indicating a preference to leave Michigan. That's what a team spokesman, Dave LeBlanc, confirmed to media sources today. So Thomas, who appeared in two games for the Wolverines in 2019, is no longer listed on Michigan's team roster for 2020. All right, to baseball. The Detroit Tigers are returning to some of the same candidates that they considered 3 years ago when they ultimately hired Ron Gartenhire. Now, the latest candidate from 2017 interviewed again in 2020 is Kansas City Royals bench coach Pedro Grifol. Now, John Morrissey of the MLB Network, he reported Sunday that Grifol, who is 50 years old, had a strong interview with the Tigers. He is a Miami native who played college baseball at Florida State and played nine seasons in the minor leagues from 91 to 1999. He spent 13 years in the Seattle Mariners system as a scout, coach, and manager before joining the Royals in 2013. He's been on the major league staff since 2014 and was prompted to bench coach for new Royals manager Mike Matheny, I should say, before the 2020 season. So the Tigers trying to figure out who is going to replace Ryan Gartenhire, and again, looking at Pedro Grifol. All right, and the World Series is set. How about this? And I got to say this. If you are a Los Angeles sports fan, I mean, you got to be loving the month of October right now, right? This month has been so good to you. You know, what pandemic, right? The LA Dodgers advanced to the World Series yesterday, defeating the Atlanta Braves 4-3, and now they will play the Tampa Bay Rays for a chance to win the entire enchilada. How about that? Game 7, folks. No two words better than Game 7, and that was a thrilling series between the Dodgers and the Braves, but the Dodgers, they get the dub, they advance, and the World Series will begin tomorrow, folks. On Tuesday, Fox, Rays Dodgers, Game 1. Gotta love that. Gotta love that, folks. This is when I really lock in. I just can't sit for 3+ hours watching a baseball game. But with the World Series, you know, I will definitely be tuning in. You know, it's the World Series. I always tune in. And then in the playoffs as well, you know, off and on. You know, I've watched a few games, moments of a few games. Again, I can't sit for 3 hours, but you get my drift. But it's World Series time. Tampa Bay and L.A. will go at it. Fun stuff there. All right. Well, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, leave us a voicemail. You know, you may not be able to call in live here on the airwaves, but, you know, you can still weigh in by picking up the phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Pick up that phone, dial that number, and you can leave us a voice message at that number. You can also weigh in via social media, facebook.com/WKAR News, or you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll have conversation on Lions, Jags. And for you Lions fans out there, this is really a catch-22 for you guys. As you get a convincing victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars, no doubt feels good anytime you can win on an NFL Sunday. But at the same time, if you are in the position like the Detroit Lions, where you know that your leadership is not the right leadership for this ball club, huh? I mean, what does a win over the Jaguars do? kind of set you back in terms of switching that regime a bit, right? So a lot to get to. Lions-Jags conversation coming up next. You are listening to the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and it is a Monday during the NFL season in which we can say the Detroit Lions won. Rare. Such a rare thing, right? But the Lions, they moved to 2-3, beating the Jacksonville Jaguars 34-16, your final. This was a very convincing victory, was not close at all. And, you know, you now ask yourself, after a win like that, you know, and shout out to DeAndre Swift. He was really like the player of the game in that game. You know, he was really amazing. You know, I mentioned his numbers at the top of our headliners. 116 yards, 2 touchdowns, becoming, you know, the first Detroit Lions running back to top 100 yards rushing in a game since Kerryon Johnson did so, playing against the Kansas City Chiefs in September of 2019, so September of last year. But what do you take away from this? What do you make of this victory over the Jaguars? Because I'm going to tell you this. I'm just going to say this. This may sound harsh, but this win meant nothing. Nothing at all. The Lions did what they were supposed to do. Look, the Jaguars are a young, bad team right now. You got to take this with a whole truckload of salt. They are the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes, the Lions may be a bad team, but they aren't that bad. The Lions are a 500 football team, which, yes, that's bad. You don't want to be a 500 anything team, you know, whether you're talking about pro football, you know, college sports, college basketball, I don't care what sports you're talking about. You don't want to be 500. But the Lions are like maybe slightly above. They're like a slightly above average team that will beat, that should beat a horrid young ball club like the Jaguars. And when it comes to the Lions, they will win games because they are slightly above average. Look at these last few years for them. They will sometimes win games, and then all of a sudden, the week after, Lions fans are saying, all right, I think we got something going here. We got something figured out here. And then what do they do the following weeks? They go inside of your football soul and just rip you apart. They just break your heart all the time. They reach inside that football soul of yours and just squeeze tight and just crush it. So don't, it's the Jaguars, folks. I don't want to hear today from Lions fans, oh boy, did you see DeAndre Swift? DeAndre Swift is the next Detroit Lions superstar. That's a Pro Bowler right there. If they can continue to do that, the Lions, please. Stop. Don't do that to yourself. Guard your heart. Guard your emotions. And you may have to do this for a while. You know, I may, for those who think the Lions made drastic improvement against the Jacksonville Jaguars, I may buy that if I can see them duplicate that kind of performance against a team that is 1-5 in the Atlanta Falcons this Sunday. Because even though the Atlanta Falcons are 1-5, when you look at the talent that's on that Atlanta Falcons team, they should not be 1-5. Now, we're still talking about, you know, Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, right? Those guys are going to be Hall of Famers. And they are just coming off a win. First win of the season, which is still, it still blows my mind, against Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. I may start to listen to you if the Lions can duplicate that kind of performance. Cool to do it against the Jaguars, but can you do it against other teams? And look, when you look at the schedule again, you face just one team with a winning record in the Colts before December. The Lions are just, what, like a game out of wild card position right now? And I can feel that there are fans out there who are like slowly converting and saying, oh man, okay, we may have a shot here. We could maybe make the playoffs here. Come, we can do this. And you're slowly trying to talk yourself into it. Just don't, please. Because the conversation we have been having throughout this season is that Matt Patricia just isn't the guy. Bob Quinn isn't the guy. And if you want change in the leadership of this team at the head coach and GM position, which that's what I'm hearing the majority of you Lions fans say, you should be rooting against your squad, which is such a weird thing to say in sports fandom. But it's a real thing to say if you want a change of regime and if you want a chance at landing a high, high pick, because you mucked it up really with Jeff Okuda. You don't draft a corner that high. I went on that rant a couple of weeks ago. But if you want another chance at a high draft pick, you know, now that you're 2-3, you got to really like lose every game from here on out, because you look at it, you know, a team like the New York Jets and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, the Lions aren't great, but they aren't that bad. I mean, you're going to have to really, really tank in order to try and get Trevor. I think that conversation's done with now. But, you know, moving forward for this team, it really is, again, I'll say it again, it's a catch-22 for you guys. It's a catch-22 for Lions fans, because I feel like the majority of you don't want to see Matt Patricia coach another day for your team. But if he somehow, some way, just even gets close to making the playoffs, to the point where Sheila says, well, we were close last year. You know, maybe I'll give Matt one more try. You know, you don't want that. You don't want that. But again, there was a part of your Lions fandom that enjoyed what you saw. That enjoyed what you saw yesterday. And, you know, what's so wild, I'll go back to, you know, I got a question for you Lions fans. I'll go back to the point I was making with the Lions and the report that came out. You know, Jason LaCanfora of CBS Sports, several Lions sources told him, I mean, this isn't some guy in you know, some diehard Detroit Lions fan in his mama's basement reading forums and blogs saying that he's got sources, or some, you know, Detroit Lions blog out there saying, hey, we got sources that say, that tell us Matt Patricia is coaching for his job today out in Jacksonville. Not at all. This was CBS Sports saying that we got sources telling us that Matt Patricia could be fired if he loses to the Jags on Sunday. Isn't that wild? And you know, in 2020, it is like mission impossible to shield your stuff from that kind of information. I'm pretty sure somebody had to come to Matt Patricia, you know, a member of his staff, said, hey, man, this report is out there. Or he knew, or this could be true. I mean, these sources are, I mean, we're talking CBS Sports here. You know, Jason is a really good reporter. He didn't just put stuff out there for clicks. If this is true, Matt Patricia has to be livid that it came out in public. I mean, you talk about stress. That's the thing about being a head coach in the National Football League. You know, when you're not performing well and you got criticism coming from the fans and sports talk radio and, you know, journalists and newspapers, you know, and you know, to find out that if this is true and he was coaching for his job, oh my goodness, the level of stress. There's a part of me that feels for Matt Patricia, just a little bit. Goodness. But the question I have is that, okay, you mollywop the Jaguars. Looking at this upcoming Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons, do you believe that Matt Patricia should still be coaching for his job against the Falcons? If he loses, if this report is true, and he was going to get the axe if they indeed lost to the Jaguars, do you think that should be extended another week? Because you in reality, you're playing a 1-5 football team against Atlanta. Should you extend it? I say, why not? If your goals, you know, if the reason why you let go, why you fired Jim Caldwell were because the goals were bigger, even though Jim Caldwell at least coached in a playoff game as the head coach of the Lions, because your goals are bigger. Well, Matt Patricia hasn't come close to the kind of success that Jim Caldwell had in Detroit. If your goals are bigger, tell you what, Matt Patricia should be coaching for his job every single game from here on out, right? I mean, come on. The Lions entering that game against Jacksonville yesterday were 10-25-1 since hiring Patricia prior to the 2018 season. You know, and this is a dude, you know, I just keep thinking about Matt Patricia because it just amazes me how you can coach under a football mind like Bill Belichick. But again, that system that Bill runs is like so catered to the culture that is the New England Patriots. The Patriots organization get players that are just different mentally from the rest of the league. Guys with chips on their shoulder who like to be pushed like that, with Bill Belichick who like that military kind of style of coaching and order. They're different. You can't do that. It's hard to establish that in other franchises, which is why I think a lot of assistants who come under Bill Belichick and get hired elsewhere, why they don't have success, because they try to implement that same system out there in said team. And you know, for Matt Patricia, he was supposed to be like the defensive guru, right? His defenses have underperformed. Detroit has allowed 31.8 points and 405 yards per game this season, both ranking the bottom five of the NFL. The Lions also blew a huge lead earlier this year. Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears scoring those 21 against them in the fourth quarter. I mean, you know, I could go on and on and on and talk about the woes of the Lions this season. To remind you that Lions fans do not, I repeat, drink this Kool-Aid. You are smarter than this. Think with your head and not your heart. Shout out to SWV. And don't buy into it, because the history of the Lions does not bode well for this team moving forward, and this leadership is not these guys are not the right guys to be leading the team right now. I think we all know that. So yeah, and it could you could really start to buy in, because if the Lions, I mean, looking at the schedule right now for the Lions, I mean, this is the true definition of a above 500 team or just above 500 team. I mean, look, you play the Falcons, Colts, Vikings, the Washington football team, Carolina Panthers, and then the Houston Texans. That's what your next six games look like. And then you got that rematch against the Bears to begin December on December 6th. But your next six games prior to December are all winnable games with the exception of maybe, what, Indianapolis? I mean, the Lions really could go 3-3 here. They could go 4-2 here. I mean, the schedule works out well for them. And that's what makes it so dangerous. Because this could be an opportunity for Matt Patricia to save his job, for Bob Quinn to save his job. So what are your thoughts on this? What do you want to see? How are you feeling right now? Am I gauging this right, Detroit Lions fans? Where you were excited to get a win like that, but you know what it means in terms of the job status of Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn. So how are you feeling right now? I mean, talk to me. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, leave us some voicemail there. Facebook.com/WKAR News and tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. I'm going to hit this final break and we're going to put a bow on today's current sports by talking about game week for Michigan State football. The time is here, folks. Here we go. You will have Spartan football on your television this Saturday. Feels good, right? Feels good. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. It is game week. Michigan State football fans, please stand up. Exciting times, right? This Saturday will mark the official start of the Mel Tucker era, as Mel will be coaching his first game as head coach for your Michigan State Spartans. And, you know, that's the big thing we're watching, right? I mean, how is this team? In what ways will this team look different under new head coach Mel Tucker? Tucker time, right? Because we know what we saw with D'Antonio in those last few years under Coach D. I'm not talking about the Rose Bowl years or the CFBP, college football playoff years of Coach D. Those last few years were ugly to watch. Just a stale offense, no creativity, no flair to it. Even though you got to give respect to the all-time winningest MSU football coach. But, yeah, those last few years just weren't great. They weren't. And, you know, you bring in Mel Tucker, who is another defensive-minded leader. You bring in Tucker, he had just one season as a college head coach last year at Colorado. Good year, not great, you know, hovering about around 500 for Colorado. But, again, that's just one year. And you bring in Tucker late in the recruiting period. You know, D'Antonio leaves like the week of signing day. So Tucker's already behind the ball when he's hired. And then you throw in a global pandemic on top of that. You know, I made the statement already. You know, I've been asked about, you know, what are the expectations for this upcoming MSU football season? I mean, what you know, how do you measure success for Mel Tucker in his first year? Look, I said Mel Tucker could come out here and lose every single game this season for Michigan State football, and he'd get a pass because of everything he's had to endure since his hire. He'll get a pass. Pandemic and then, you know, the late hire, and, I mean, come on. How do you deal with that? As a first-year head coach of a Big Ten university like Michigan State University. So whatever Mel does, he gets the hall pass for sure. But again, I stated when it comes to my prediction, I think Michigan State could win, you know, five games this season. I don't know. This is my gut talking. We still have so many question marks for this team. So many question marks. And look, also, I want to say this. You know, it's not like Mel Tucker is new to Michigan State football. I mean, you know, this is his return to Spartan Stadium, you know, for a real game. For the first time since he was a grad assistant under Nick Saban back in 97-98. So, you know, he's very familiar with the program. But the quarterback situation, right, that's what you all want to really see. That would be like, you know, when it comes to your list of things you'll be watching and paying attention to this Saturday, near the top of the list somewhere, you will be locked in on the quarterback situation for your Spartans. And you look at things, it could be, you know, QB1 that I'm hearing. It looks like Rocky Lombardi, fourth year junior. Also, you can throw in redshirt freshie Peyton Thorne into the mix as well. But you know, Lombardi, he's got the experience. He had three starts in 2018. Remember when Brian Lewerke went down? Strong debut against the Purdue Boilermakers at Spartan Stadium. That was the game in which everybody at Spartan Stadium was chanting, Rocky, Rocky, Rocky. Created this incredibly awkward moment between Rocky Lombardi and Brian Lewerke, and they were forcing Brian Lewerke. That was the year when they were forcing Brian Lewerke out there, even though he wasn't 100% healthy. You know, but he's been up and down, really, when you look at his other appearances, with the exception of that Purdue game. You know, and then you look at Peyton Thorne, you know, he has yet to take a snap in the college game. Inexperienced. But, you know, I'm hearing that he's got a lot of potential. A lot of potential there. So that's going to be a big question mark. You know, as far as play calling and creativity, how that goes as well. And just how dominant that Michigan State defense can be. You know, Mel Tucker being a defensive-minded brother. Looking forward to seeing all of that. You know, all of these things are question marks right now for this team, and it's just going to be a different year. And then no fans as well, you know, and there will be no tailgating this Saturday as well. You as a fan, I'm wondering, another question I have for Michigan State fans out there, because, you know, Michigan State football is, you know, so ingrained here in East Lansing, and is one of the things that we all look forward to. You know, I'm going to miss, you know, and I have missed it this fall already, you know, waking up early on a Saturday, you know, watching college game day as I get ready and throw on my, you know, whatever I'm wearing for the day as I get ready to cover Michigan State football, grabbing my press pass, you know, hitting up my interns, making sure they're ready to go and, hey, meet me at Spartan Stadium at this time. Then the drive over to Spartan Stadium to park my car as I'm driving into campus, seeing all of these Spartan fans tailgating and the smell of hot dogs and hamburgers and, you know, people yelling and chanting Go Green on campus. Then as I park my car, meeting up with my interns and us talking about the games coming up for that day. And looking around and looking at all the tailgaters, passing all of the tailgaters, maybe taking a picture or two with some people. I mean, that experience, I'm going to miss it, without a doubt. But, you know, in the year that is COVID here in 2020, we got to appreciate any kind of moment we can have where we have college football back on our televisions, where we have Michigan State football back in our lives. But throughout this week, folks, you want to keep it locked to current sports because we're going to have interviews and a lot of conversations centered on Spartan football. And I'm going to really be diving into, you know, players and maybe some schemes that we'll see this Saturday and as we begin the year. Michigan State and Rutgers, folks. All right. But, hey, until next time, Tuesday at 1 p.m., Until that time, we are taking a 23-hour break. I want you all to be safe, be smart, and as always, be easy, people.